All right, so at this point in time, I would normally be saying, go ahead and turn in the book of Romans, but we're not going to go to Romans today. We're going to have a topical sermon, which I don't do all that often. Usually we go verse by verse through God's word. Today, we're going to look at the topic of mothers. Today is Mother's Day. I've titled today's sermon, Unsung Heroes of the Faith. I'd like you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. We're eventually going to get to Proverbs chapter 31. As you're turning to Proverbs, almost the middle of your Bibles, that God's design of the family is under attack in these last ages of time, this church age that we live in. It should not be any surprise that Satan is attacking God's design for the family. Satan is doing anything and everything he can to lessen the effectiveness of the church and to lessen the effectiveness of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before government was ever instituted by God, and long before God instituted the church, the very first institution that God established on the face of the earth was the family. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God instituted the family before he instituted any other thing like government or even the church. The human family, this is very important, the human family is a picture of God's family, which you and I are a part of. Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and all of the bride, you and I individually, are the children of God, and we are to look to God as our heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and this is Jesus speaking, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Think about that, as little children. I miss the days when my son and daughter were little children. For those of you that still have little children, listen, be grateful. Because you can still reach down and they will put their precious little hand in your hand, their little hand in your big giant hand, and they will trust in you with all trust. Only a child, a little child, can do that. When faced with danger, they will cling to mom and dad. But as they grow up, my son, he doesn't come clinging to me. He doesn't reach out and put his hand in my hand anymore. But as a little child, they have that complete faith and trust in their mom and their dad. And God says that that's the faith and trust that we're supposed to put in the Father. We, as the children of God, are supposed to trust in Him as little children. The family is a picture of God's family. The human family is a picture of God's family. However, I think the family can also be a beautiful picture of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is very clearly pictured in the father figure, the father figure. God the Son is pictured in the child, and God the Holy Spirit is pictured in mothers. It is this illustration of mothers picturing the Holy Spirit that I want to focus today's entire message on. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the mom that you gave me. She was not perfect, and neither am I. But you used my mom and my dad to lead me to come to know you as my personal Lord and Savior. God, I could not thank you enough for the mom that you gave me. And I thank you for the wife that you gave me that you have used to be the mother of our two beautiful, wonderful kids. God, I thank you for mothers. I thank you for your plan. And I pray, God, that today we would lift up the moms here in this church, that we would maybe be able to give them a strength that they didn't have before or didn't know they had, and that they would feel the love of our church for each and every one of them. Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in this time as we open up your word and we study it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at moms, and I'm looking at this comparison, this picture of moms to the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 16, verse 7, says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Of course, this is Jesus Christ. He's looking at his disciples, his followers, and he's saying, listen, I have to go away. And there's a reason I have to go away. If I didn't go away, something else could not happen. And that's what I want us to look at. It says, it is expedient. It's important. It's good for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Skipping ahead to verse 13 and 14 of John chapter 16. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, I want you to think about that as we think about moms. The Holy Spirit comforts you. John chapter 14, we were in chapter 16, looking at John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus needed to leave the face of the earth because as a man, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. He was physical. When Jesus left the earth, he could send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, being spirit, could be all places at all times. I know a few places that he is. As I look out and I see the different Christians here, he's in you. 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 He's in me. The Holy Spirit can be in multiple places at once. He is in the Christians that are in Tanzania, Africa right now. He is in the Christians that are in Ireland right now. He is in the Christians that are all spread out across this globe right now today. Whereas Jesus could only be in one place at one time because he was physical. And so it was expedient, it was important, it was good for each of us that God the Son, Jesus Christ, left so that he could send God the Holy Spirit, who could be here and indwell each and every one of us who have received him as our Lord and Savior. Here's the point that I want you to see. The Holy Spirit is called by Jesus Christ the Comforter. He comforts us. He gives us comfort. It tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Word of God says that he seals you unto the day of redemption. That should bring you and I great comfort to know that you can never lose the indwelling Holy Spirit. You can never lose your salvation. No matter how bad of a failure you may be today or tomorrow, you cannot lose your salvation. The Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. He comforts us. I hope that brings you a great deal of comfort. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now that should bring you a lot of comfort. Have you ever woken up on those days? Maybe you just were a miserable failure for Christ. I've had those days. And I'll bet you've had them too. Have you ever had those days where you sat there and thought, man, am I even a Christian? Am I even saved? Am I really on my way to heaven? That verse should bring you a lot of comfort. The understanding that the Holy Spirit is in you, bearing witness with your spirit that you are saved. You are the children of God. That should bring us a great deal of comfort. You will undoubtedly have more days where you wonder, man, am I really God's child? Thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit that is there to bear witness with your spirit. You are his. You are eternally his child. We get great comfort from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit guides us in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What are those things that are freely given to us of God? It's right there. It's God's word. See, it's not a man's interpretation that tells us what the Word of God says. It's the Holy Spirit's interpretation that helps us to understand the Word of God. And that's why it's important that we use Scripture to interpret Scripture, because the Holy Spirit is the author of it. He wrote it. And it's only His interpretation that matters. The Holy Spirit guides us into all those things that God has freely given to us. Continuing in our verse, it says, which things also we speak. The disciples are saying, that's the stuff that we're speaking. We're giving you God's word. That's the stuff that the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand. Not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You might want to memorize that verse. That is where so many Christians fall short, where so many denominations fall short, because it is spiritual, it is Scripture that defines and interprets Scripture. The Holy Spirit guides us into God's Word. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit never draws attention to Himself. Now, there's a whole lot more we could talk about when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But I just wanted to look at these three main points when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts you. The Holy Spirit guides you in God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will never draw attention to Himself. You know, there are people out there that claim to be Christians who worship the Holy Spirit. But our text very clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit will never draw attention to Himself. He will only and always point to the Father and to the Son. Look back in our text there in verse 13. In verse 13 of our text, it says, for He shall not speak of Himself. He does not draw attention to Himself. He only and ever always points to the Father and to the Son, to the Word of God. Jesus is the written Word, and Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. So, briefly, we took a look at the Holy Spirit, and I want us to see that it is a beautiful picture that the mother paints of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the virtuous woman. If you would, you're already in Proverbs chapter 31. And I debated on how best to do this, but I think we're just going to read it. We're just going to read it. We won't have time today to go through all of those verses. But in Proverbs chapter 31, I want us to skip ahead, and we'll begin in verse 10. And we're going to read through the rest of the chapter. And as we're doing that, I want us to think about mom, about mothers, about mothering. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships that bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that the merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the way of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, as I think about mothers, I could not help but think of all of the words contained there in those verses that we just read. I hope that you can say the same thing of your mother. I hope you, moms, grandmas, are able to say the same thing of your mothering. My mother was not a perfect mom, but she led me to Christ. And in that way, she fully accomplished all of what Proverbs 31 says about the virtuous woman. Just a couple of points of interest, though, not taking the time to look at all of those verses. I first want to look at the virtuous woman. She comforts her family, just like the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Looking back at Proverbs 31, verses 11 through 15, look how she comforts her family. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The husband has no need to look outside of his wife for anything because the wife is providing everything. What a beautiful wife. What a wonderful mother, because the kids can see that in their father's wife, their mother. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In other words, she works hard to make sure her kids are properly clothed, that they have on what is needed for their protection as they go out into society. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She takes care of making sure everyone in the home is well fed, even to the extent that she stays up late and gets up early. I'm telling you, that is a beautiful description of my wife. And I cannot help but thank God for how wonderful of a mother she is and the mother that I had in my life. She comforts her family. Continuing, though, the virtuous woman guides her family in God's word, just like the Holy Spirit guides us in God's word. Look at verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I see this word wisdom, and I can't help but think of the first four chapters of the book of Proverbs. If you haven't studied those, I would challenge you to study Proverbs chapters 1 through 4. It teaches very clearly what wisdom is and what it will do for you to have that wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 8 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." What is wisdom according to Proverbs? Wisdom is God's word. And moms lead us in the understanding of God's word. As fathers are out working, moms are at home to take care of leading their children in the understanding of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is speaking to Timothy. Paul has been used by God to lead Timothy to Jesus Christ. But before Paul, Timothy had two very important people in his life. And Paul makes mention of those two very important people in Timothy's life. Look at them in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul is speaking here to Timothy. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," in you, Timothy, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Isn't that amazing? Paul has the opportunity to lead Timothy to Jesus Christ, but he says, "Man, the faith that you have, it was in your grandmother, it was in your mother, and it is in you." Paul says, "Man, the women in your life, Timothy, were used to develop that faith and to strengthen that faith in your life." Moms, you have tremendous power and authority of God in the children that God has blessed you with. And by the way, ladies so often feel that because they're not in leadership positions in the church, that they have no influence over the church. Well, I want you to know every single person in this room has a mother. Every one of us. What an influence the ladies have had in our lives and have opportunity to have. You see, the virtuous woman guides her family in God's word. Thirdly, the virtuous woman never draws attention to herself. Paying specific attention to verse 23 of Proverbs 31, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, we don't necessarily understand that culture. So just very quickly, what we need to understand about that is in the gates of the city is where the elders, the leaders, the governing officials would organize, would gather. They would do all kinds of things, like decide what could come into the city and what could leave the city. There was where the governing body would be held, okay? And so here is a man that is in a position of importance in the city, and it says that because of his wife, this virtuous woman, he was well known. It doesn't say she was well known. It says he was well known because of her. Verse 27 of our text says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. The bread of idleness is laziness. She doesn't stop to take a rest. She looketh to the wellness of her household. Her husband and her kids and their home is first, long before she ever dreams of idleness, of rest. Verse 17 of our text says, she girdeth her loins. That means she puts on the clothes of what? Strength. Strength are her clothing. I couldn't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. When it comes to what a virtuous woman clothes herself with. 1 Peter 3, 3 says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, we need to understand something. That is not God's word saying it's wrong for you to wear jewelry and have your hair decorated all nice, ladies. That's not at all what it's saying. Look at what it is saying. It says, whose adorning, let it not be. In other words, what makes her beautiful? I see some young ladies in here today. You need to understand this lesson, girls. Moms, grandmas, what makes you beautiful as a woman should not be your outward appearance. It's your inward appearance. That's what God's word is teaching here. What makes you beautiful is who you are on the inside. And God's word tells us here in Proverbs 31 that a virtuous woman is far above the value of rubies. That's what makes you beautiful. Who you are in Jesus Christ is what makes a woman beautiful. So let's talk about the unrenowned woman. Let's get to the focus of our time together, the unrenowned woman. I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. We're looking at verses 1 through 10 now. We're not going to look at all of those verses. I would encourage you to spend some time later today looking at those verses. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. By the way, did I tell you, moms, I have a present for you? It's not just the flowers. That's from the church. I have a present for you. We're going to be done early today. What? I won't say who said that, Patty. All right. Although I will say this, I told Carolyn yesterday, I says, I've got a very short message for Mother's Day. We're going to get them out and have, be able to celebrate Mom's Day together. And Carolyn said, oh, Ben, you'll figure out how to ruin that. Oh, well. The unrenowned woman, Mom, we're talking about you. The unrenowned woman. The word unrenowned is an adjective describing someone or something that is not famous, not celebrated, and is not widely known. It's unrenowned. It signifies being obscure, humble, or unsung heroes. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Heroes of the Faith chapter of the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but challenge you to read Hebrews chapter 11. We call it, as theologians, as pastors, we call it the Hero chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Among those heroes that are read about in Hebrews chapter 11 is a particular unrenowned woman. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Did you see her? Do you see her in that text that's up there on the screen? The unrenowned woman. She's there. However, she's not even really mentioned there, is she? Instead, she's lumped together with Moses' father. It simply mentions his parents. However, if we get into Exodus, we get a bit more detail when we turn there. So we're in chapter 2. Here we learn that the headship, under the headship of his father, under the headship of Moses' father, it was his mother, not the parents, but it was his mother who hid him as long as she could hide him. And then when she felt she could no longer hide him anymore, he was courageously sent down the river towards the Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, to wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she bare him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein, and she laid it into the flags by the river's bank." Notice, even here, she's still not even mentioned by name, is she? In fact, it's only through a deeper investigation into God's word that we finally find her name mentioned. It's mentioned in two places in Scripture. Just two places. In the whole telling of Moses, no mention of her name. In Hebrews chapter 11, the hero chapter of the Bible, she's not even mentioned. We have to do further discussion. Let me show you in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. "And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. And she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Did you see her name? Finally, we get her name. We have to go search for it. It's also mentioned again in Numbers chapter 26, verse 59. "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed." Ladies, how would you like that for your name? That was her name, Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. Listen, you've probably never, ever heard the name Jochebed before, but that is the name of Moses' mother, one of the greatest mothers of all time. She was a woman of great faith and great courage. You see, when Moses was born, Pharaoh, the ruler of all Egypt, had decreed that all Hebrew boys were to be killed because they wanted to get power and authority over these Hebrew slaves that were now beginning to be in more number than the Egyptians. And so the Pharaoh decreed that all Hebrew boys were to be killed. And Jochebed showed great faith and great courage, risking her own life to preserve the life of her son. She put her own life off to the side to save the life of her son, and was used then to raise, if you know the story, she got to raise her own son under Pharaoh's daughter's authority. Let me close with this. I told you it'd be a quick sermon today. Christian parenting takes courage. Society will draw our children away from godly values. I want to repeat that. Society will draw our children away from godly values that we want to instill in them. Like Jochebed, Moses' mother, an almost completely unnamed woman throughout the entirety of Scripture, Like Jochebed, we must set our fears and self-interests aside to teach our children to follow Jesus Christ. I end today's sermon with Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's pray.